Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back, we'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Ells, joined in the dugout from safe distance by my pal Brian Svensson.
The Blue Jays!
He's coming in hot. And on the bullpen phone from a safe distance, my pal Chris Zook.
Yes, let's do it. It is exciting times for the Blue Jay fans and Major League Baseball.
We're back after a week's absence. Zook and I both in a fantasy football draft last week that kept us from recording, but that just
dying.
Gave Brian more time to ramp up his
marinade. He had to marinate an extra.
I was ready to go, man. They had just swept the Yankees. I was ready for all the hot takes, and now they're not even hot takes. The Blue Jays are going to make the playoffs, boys.
Well, okay. Here's the thing. I looked this up, and you know this, Brian. If they don't make the playoffs now, it's their own fault, right? Of the last 16 games, 10 are against either Minnesota, Michael, and Baltimore, you know? And then they got two other series with Tampa Bay and New York. But
and they just beat the Rays in the series, too.
Yeah, the schedule is set up for them to win this wild card, but it is wild. I mean, it could still be a three-way tie, right? I mean, you could have Boston, New York, and Toronto, or I guess, you know, still sort of in the peripheral is Seattle and Oakland. But, I mean, I give them credit, and I said this, and so you can mark it down early at the start of this month. It was when Brian was sort of getting off the bandwagon and was like, hey, watch it. It's still, we got a month to play. But I give them credit. I will say this. The Blue Jays, they played themselves back into it, and they've won the series. Like, that Yankee series last week was massive, and that huge streak they've gone on. And so credit to them for they can control now if they're in the playoffs or not.
Does any pitching staff in the American League scare you as much as the Blue Jays does? Like, in the you want to be a Blue Jays fan?
Say that again.
Is there any pitching? I just want to point this out. Okay, so like to the Blue Jays have the second ERA in the entire major in all of Major League Baseball, and they've got. Is there a better starting pitching staff in the American League than the Toronto Blue Jays right now?
That's a good question.
You've got Robbie Ray, who is going to win the Cy Young Award. is having one of the best pitching seasons out of any Blue Jays pitcher ever, including my boy Doc.
Well, I mean, Roger Clemens had a couple good years too.
Yep, absolutely. You've got Hyunjin Ryu, who's legitimately an ace, good to great pitcher. You've got Jose Berrios, who Mike can attest to. Pretty good. And then you've got Alex Manoa, who's having an incredible year, an incredible rookie year. The kid is on fire. And you've got Steven Matz, who's having a really great bounce back. It's them or the White Sox, right? the Rays is not really a starting pitching staff. They've got a great pitching staff, but it's
mostly the bullpen.
It's mostly the bullpen that you're scared of with them. The what Yankees starting pitching staff is a joke.
Yeah, what about Houston?
They're fine, but again, like you're more scared of the hitting in the lineup there.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah. Boston is the same. It's the same thing.
So yeah, I mean, yeah, I mean the deal still is they got to finish the deal, right? We got 2 weeks left going on here, right? And so the schedule, like, here's the thing: they start with the Twinkies this weekend. And then they go back to, I think, Tampa Bay, and then they got four more with Minnesota.
God, I wish I was in Minnesota this weekend.
Isn't that crazy? Next weekend. I mean, Brian, you said that, and unfortunately cannot get out there. So I mean,
tickets are still selling for that Friday game. You can get tickets in the bleachers for $5.
Oh sure. I mean, Michael can attest to this. I mean, about halfway through this season, you could have got basically behind the plate for like $5. Like, I mean, it doesn't, I mean, there's half been half crowds there, right? But yeah, I mean, hey, yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy. Like, they've, yeah, I mean, I, you know, maybe this is 2015 again. Maybe it is, right?
It feels like 2015 all over again. It does. And it feels incredible. This team is, it's the same thing. Not in the playoffs. How many ever games back come the trade deadline? Make some moves. Make the team, make some bold moves.
Yeah.
Make the team better and go on a run in August and specifically September. You have an incredible run differential and scare the bejesus out of teams come the playoffs. The Jays can do some damage in the playoffs if they make it in.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing is the wild card, right? So you want to get that first wild card, correct? I mean, that would be
yeah. If you play the game in the dome, that's huge.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be a major advantage. But at this point, I mean, you know, just to get in is still the first goal, right? If it was second, whatever, right? Because I would agree with you. It's hard for me to say that, but I would agree with you, Brian, that. Yeah, because they're on the roll, right? They're the team that I don't think a lot of teams want to face right now because they got their mojo going, right? Everyone's kind of hidden. The pitching is quite strong. You know, even the bullpen isn't the worst, you know, but
everybody's healthy finally.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, it's been, yeah, I mean, that Yankee series last week was massive, right? Like that, and it kind of stopped the Yankees in their tracks there. They were winning for a while there, and then they went on that tailspin. And I don't know. I mean, you know, I mean, hey, I honestly don't count out Seattle, Oakland yet. They're still been kicking around, right?
Oakland, but Seattle has kind of been frauds. I mean, they're outperforming their Pythagorean. At some point in time, that's going to come back.
But people have been saying that about the Giants for the whole year, and yet they not only clinched, they could still win their division, right? Like,
I mean, know that once the stats started coming up, that anyone was ever saying that. I thought people were saying that the Giants were.
No one before the year said that, but now that
the year's been going on, I haven't seen a single person been like, yeah, the Giants are going to fall back to earth anytime now because they've been.
Well, come on. No one predicted them to win the division. Like, no one.
They have a plus 181 run differential. The only team that's better than them in the National League.
But
No one was predicting that.
No, right? Like, they
before the season, you're right. But midway through the season was going on.
But even still, I think. Sure, but I still think people thought that it was going to finally drop somewhere in the summer, right? And they've maintained it. Like, I mean, I give them credit. Like, it's very impressive. If they hold off the Dodgers, I mean, the Dodgers.
I think they will.
We'll see. To
answer your question, Brian, I was looking, I was trying to pull up like Baseball Reference and ESPN and a few other places to find like the pitching stats. I can't find splits in terms of like second half, but Baseball Reference on Major League Baseball wins above average by position. Overall, the Blue Jays are at 19.1, which puts them at first above the Dodgers at 19.0. Giants are third at 18.6. On the starting pitching, the Yankees are an 8.0. The White Sox 7.6 and Toronto is a 7.6. Those are the three highest of the American League teams. And then looking at pitching stats overall on ESPN, the Astros, Yankees, White Sox, Rays, then Blue Jays, but that does include relief pitching as well. So, I mean, I haven't found anything to kind of discount your argument that the starting rotation. I mean, Robbie Ray, man, he leads AL starters in ERA, strikeouts, innings, and quality starts.
He's incredible. He's going to win the Cy Young Award.
And yeah, I don't think there's punched out 13 Rays in his win on Wednesday.
He's going to win the Cy Young Award. He's going to be the first Blue Jay to win the Cy Young since Doc. A guy that had been completely written off, that the Arizona gave away.
Yeah, it was basically he was on the scrap heap and they just picked him up for cheap, basically.
And they changed up his pitch mix. They adjusted his arm slot to get more movement on his slider. Pete Walker is a genius. This is incredible.
He's in a contract year, right? Like, he's a free agent, if I'm not mistaken, after this year, correct?
Robbie Ray?
Yeah.
I think the Jays have his arb rights.
Yeah, but could he, I don't know. I thought I read somewhere that he could parlay this in a pretty big contract next year. Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But anyway.
No, you're right. He's the unrestricted free agent.
I thought that's what I heard. Yeah, that's because somewhere I'd read that this, like, he's all of a sudden now, I mean, he's going to win Cy Young, and then he's going to be a Cy Young on the free agent market. So, I mean, well, time.
The problem is he's going to be a Cy Young he's going to be a Cy Young winner on the free agent market who just turned 30. And so it's shown that people, it's hard to get paid.
Let me just say this.
It's hard to get paid, but it's also, you know, I mean, we're looking at this, and I did want to bring this up a little later when we look at the NL, but Adam Wainwright's 40 and currently, like, the guy who's getting it done for the Cardinals.
Yep.
And this is going back a bit, but R.A. Dickey parlayed a Cy Young Award winner into a big contract and then never to be found again. But yeah, I mean, I think hey, credit to Ray and the pitching staff of the Jays to turn his career around. I mean, this is a career defining moment, and he actually could lean up to something big this year, right? It's crazy. Like, I mean, forget about real life. I mean, if you had him in fantasy anywhere through this year, congratulations, because you just ride him all year, right? This guy's been the ace. It's funny, all the big names of Ryu and Berrios on this staff, and it's definitely Ray is the ace right now. And yeah, I mean,
but they've got five pitchers you can trust.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to use all five, obviously, when like as starters as you get in the playoffs, but you can use these arms, right? Like, the funny thing is that it was always the pitching was the downfall of the Blue Jays, and it could be actually be as much of the strength as they're hitting come the postseason, which is crazy.
If they get in the playoffs, they are just as scary as any of the teams you want to throw in the American League. They're just as scary as the White Sox. They're just as scary as the Astros. They're just as scary as the Rays. In fact, I'd say that they're probably scarier than some of those teams.
I think so. I mean,
they've got it on both sides of the ball. That's the thing.
Yeah, there's something about momentum too. I just think they're peaking at the right time, right? They've won the games in the series. Again, you know,
their run differential is now above Tampa Bay as well.
Yeah, I mean, the caveat is let's hope they don't lay an egg the next 2 weeks, right? Like, it's set up for them to you could sweep those 10 games against Baltimore and the Twinkies, seriously. And then if you just split the other ones, you could go 12 out of 16 or 13 out of 16. I mean, you know, and and then you would definitely have the first wild card spot locked up before maybe the end of the season. But, you know, they still got to play the games. The Twinkies all of a sudden might show up, but I doubt it. And Baltimore is, you know, I believe they're at 99 losses, so they're going to go through another crazy 100 loss season. But I mean, it is exciting. There's no doubt about it, right? And it's good because the Jays have been in the wilderness, and these, especially the prospects who were supposed to finally start panning out. I mean, hey, I want to go into this conversation about the AL MVP.
I don't really think it's much of a conversation. It's going to be Ohtani, right?
No, I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to do the hot take for a second here, and I'm not even going to do Vladdy for a second.
I want
to tip my hat to Salvi Perez. He's not going to win it, but I'm telling you, people don't understand what he's doing this year, right? I think it's getting lost because of Ohtani and Vladdy are just unbelievable what they're doing. But he just tied the record with Johnny Bench, who said in 1970 about most home runs by a catcher playing the position at least 75%. I mean, because Kansas City is about 600 games out of first place. They play in Kansas City, so no one sees the games and stuff. This guy came off major surgery in 2019 and played pretty good last year. But
he's not even top 50 in American League WAR.
Who cares?
Who cares? A lot.
No, I'll tell you right now. He could be two of the three Triple Crown. He could win RBIs and home runs this year. And so tell me about that. So
when was the last time the Triple Crown actually mattered?
Well, I don't know. Miggy won the Triple Crown. First of all,
there's only been... and shouldn't have won the MVP.
Well, okay.
I think people recognize now that one was stolen from Mike Trout.
Okay, enough. I mean, Trout's going to win 20 of them. Who cares? I'll tell you this much right now. The Triple Crown does still count. That's what's been touted a lot of people about.
There's a reason why nobody's talking about Salvi Perez, dude. There's a reason. It's because he's good.
No,
he's an above average player.
It's an exceptional year. If there's not Ohtani and Vladdy doing this, Salvi Perez.
No.
Yes.
45 no. homers from a catcher is pretty phenomenal.
If you take Vladdy and Ohtani out, I still don't think he breaches top 10 in MVP.
Oh my goodness. You're not even don't even
I don't.
Be.
I don't.
Okay. Okay, fine, but I would disagree with you. I think hitting 45 home runs at that position has only been done once before in history. So we talk about historical stuff.
Marcus Semien is maybe even the better player on the Jays than Vladdy is. Cedric Mullins is having an incredible season with the O's.
Okay.
Jose Ramirez is going to put up.
You just said he wouldn't be in the top 10. That's
insane. I'm giving you the names. Salvi
Perez is eighth. I just pulled up a sports book. Today. He's sitting eighth.
I just think that, like, if you take out Vladdy and Ohtani, I still think you put Semien, Mullins, Ramirez, Correa, Bogarts,
he
Judge,
win RBI.
Altuve, Olsen.
Fine, great. Name
Tucker.
Name Trout in there. I don't care.
Devers.
But so what? So Vladdy's campaign
Brandon
is
Lau.
That he could.
I could keep naming names. Montana.
Name it.
I can keep naming
all those. All you want, Brian. I don't care because what Salvi is
top
doing.
He's 50 in WAR. I don't think
I don't care.
He's having an okay
care.
Season. I don't think
no,
he should be anywhere
not.
Near the MVP conversation.
It's not even close. Are you kidding?
He shouldn't be anywhere near that conversation. Nowhere near it.
Yeah, but the MVP doesn't. They don't vote on WAR.
Yeah, I mean, WAR is not the be all. Well, that's fine, but it's not the be all end all. The only stat that's out there.
I don't think he's that valuable to a team that's going to put up what like 100 losses. Zoo, come on.
You just named Cedric Mullins in there.
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they got 100 losses. Andre Dawson won MVP and he was on a last place team. It's not,
Mike Trout has won MVP multiple times on a losing
never
team.
Never on a 100 loss team.
Okay. Not 100, but it doesn't mean that the team has to, like, that's why the MVP discussion is a beautiful discussion because there's no one linear thing that says you got to check off these boxes to be an MVP. MVP is very subjective. That's the beauty of it. So you can have your opinion, Brian, but I can have mine as well. Like, I mean, that's fair enough. But
if you want to keep saying the sky is green, go ahead. But Salvi Perez does not deserve.
No, but your absolute is wrong about that. You're making a. You just said he just had a good year. This is
a
record year. No, it's a record year for a catcher hitting at that position. He hits one more home run. It's the most home runs by a catcher ever in the major leagues. And so what Ohtani's doing
in a
Vladdy,
time period where home runs matter less than anything.
Oh my goodness. Now we're going to discount that. No, stop it. I'm saying he's not going to win it. I'm just bringing up the thing. I want to tip a hat to a guy who just tied Johnny Bench and an all-time record. Vladdy could still win the Triple Crown. And that's what people are touting as his campaign against Ohtani. So then somehow, but gets discounted if Perez gets two of the three, with RBI and home runs. Like, I don't think that's right. Like, those categories only count if Vladdy gets them, but not.
I don't think they should count for Vladdy either. I don't think the Triple Crown matters. Like, it's 1956 anymore.
Crazy. That's crazy talk. It's incredibly hard to do that.
RBIs literally do not matter. It's all luck based nonsense.
It's not actually. It's not actually, because you have to still drive and run. That's still the purpose of the game, right? Is to drive and run.
It matters about what your teammates do, what your manager do, right, what the strategy is. It doesn't. RBIs is not something that matters.
Someone still has to hit the ball.
It does not matter like a regular.
If he's so bad.
I don't think he's bad. He's an above average player. He's gonna put up 3.5 wins above replacement. That's above average, borderline all-star, which is a good season. It's not anywhere near the MVP. And it shouldn't be treated that way.
War is not the be all end all. Let me just
start with that. If you want to talk about hitting, right? You're talking about
who's on the Royals that he's hitting. Great hitting catcher. Wait, stop a second, Brian.
No, I'm not gonna stop. You talk over me. It's my turn to talk over you now, Zeke.
That's fine. But
so Buster Posey in his MVP season, had a 171 OPS plus, which is huge. It means he's 71% better than the average hitter, which is massive. In this season where he won MVP for being a catcher, hit 336, 408, 549. Okay. Salvi Perez currently hitting 276, 317, 548. His OPS plus is 128. He's better than the average hitter. It's a good catcher season. It's not something that should be credited as being an incredible, like, it's not, if we're going to say that the standard for an MVP catcher season is something like what Buster Posey did in 2012, Salvador Perez is nowhere near the defensive catcher that Buster Posey was that year. And he's nowhere near the offensive catcher that Buster Posey was that year. And so come on, what are we talking about here? Being a Royals homer.
No, it's not actually. You know what? Tell me who's on the Royals team that he's hitting, getting these RBIs for. Because there's no all-stars on that team except for Perez. So somehow he is a pretty valuable to that team, even though they lose all the games. He can't control that team is not good. He can control what he can control. Somehow he's hitting these RBIs in and these home runs. So I don't know what you're saying about that, how you're discounting that.
I'm discounting it because RBIs are something that is incredibly luck-based and overvalued.
And so is WAR. So is WAR that's overvalued.
He's got six teammates. He's got four teammates other than himself that are above league average in OBP. Six. Nicky Lopez, Carlos Santana.
That team is garbage. We're not talking about the Blue Jays here, right?
I'm just saying he's got guys that get on base.
Good. And guess what? Someone still has to hit him in. And he's done that. Home runs and RBIs. It's a pretty good thing. And you know what? He's 33rd.
Any other league average or slightly above hitter in that position, and they're near, if not equaling, what Salvi Perez is doing right now. You put any other good to great hitter in there, and it's not even close. So, like, what are we talking about?
That no one has done this. Except Johnny Bench, 45 home runs as a catcher. I don't know. That's a pretty good statement.
In an era where home runs matter less than any other time. The ball is juiced. Balls are flying out of the stadium.
Didi Gregorius
hit 25 home runs.
Great. Wait a second,
what
Brian.
What are we talking about?
Well, okay, Brian, what we're talking about is, so who's hitting 70 home runs this year? Because Barry Bonds hit 72 20 years ago, and I don't see anyone hitting 70 home runs this year or 60 home runs this year, right? So yeah, balls are flying out, but no one has done 45 except for Johnny Bench, who's a Hall of Famer at the position. And even if he's not the greatest catcher there defensively, he's still doing a position that is very demanding. Coming off surgery 2 years ago, it's an incredible feat.
So the year that Johnny Bench did this, what year did Johnny Bench hit
1970.
Okay. So 2,000 home runs total across both leagues that year. Okay. 2,000 home runs total. Do you want to guess how many home runs are out and we're not even done the season in this year? Just hazard a guess, Duke.
2,001.
4,000. It's double.
Okay.
Home runs literally mean half what they used to.
What's the next closest catcher's home runs?
That's a good question. Let me look that up.
Because it's not just how many home runs are getting hit by all of the hitters, because hitters have become so much more specialized, but what is he doing compared to the position? That's the big question. How much of an improvement is
that's a good question. I'm looking it up. Minimum plate appearances. The next closest is Mike Zunino with 30 in 60 less games. In close to actually in 250 less plate appearances.
Right. So somehow it's a detriment that Salvi shows up and plays that position day after day, right?
I don't think that's a detriment. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't think we should be talking about him like he's the next coming of Babe Ruth here.
I didn't say that now, did I? I tipped his cap. I just don't think
he should be in that conversation.
Okay, Brian, that's your opinion, and I have mine.
Okay. I guess we're in the business of being wrong, but that's fine.
Whatever, Brian. I mean, you know what? We can talk round circles here. What he's did is historic. The next home run is the most home runs ever by a catcher. And you could devalue a home run.
We're gonna start putting guys in the conversation for the next time that they hit the most home runs on a Tuesday.
No, I don't think it's quite that specious argument.
I mean, Salvador Perez, he's borderline Hall of Famer.
Guy deserves to be a borderline Hall of Fame candidate for drawing the most walks ever.
No, don't be absurd, Brian. Like, I'm not saying that. No, come on. He's 33.
Salvador Perez is not a Hall of Fame. I want to point this out. Salvador Perez, not a Hall of Fame candidate. Come on.
Oh, okay. Michael, anyways, where I was trying to go with this before Brian wants to get back here is that I'm allowed to tip my hat to Salvador Perez for what he did here, and that Absolutely. He should be in the conversation. And that's it, Brian. I mean, we can argue endlessly about this stuff, and you'll think
based
you're right.
Based on Beav references, Hall of Fame tracker, he's got 4 black inks, average Hall of Famer 27, 16 gray inks, average Hall of Famer 144. The Hall of Fame monitor has a 53 out of 100. And the Jaws system has him as an incredibly unlikely Hall of Famer. Similar players.
You know what? There's players who get in.
Aaron Fletcher, Mike Lieberthal, Wilson Ramos, Matt Wieters, Jonathan Lucroy, Miguel Montero. None of these guys are making the Hall of Fame. Javi Lopez.
Yeah, and Salvador Perez isn't in that category.
Todd Hundley not making the Hall of Fame. Come on. Yeah,
and no one's talking about him in those groups, right?
Nobody's talking about him at all, except for you.
Well, guess what?
He was on the splash page of MLB.com earlier today. So
yeah, you know what? I mean, you can discount whatever
conversations.
That's fine, but he did something that is on the front page of ESPN right now. That is being trumpeted by some people who actually think it is a big deal. What he's done is he's tied a Hall of Famer at this position. That's pretty impressive.
I don't think so, but that's okay.
Okay.
Speaking of tying Hall of Famers, actually surpassing them, Ryan Mountcastle, 29th homer of the year, passed Cal Ripken Jr. for the most by a rookie in franchise history.
Well, that doesn't really matter now, does it there, Michael? Ah. Because Brian says, you know what, home runs are devalued. So that's really only 12 in the terms if you have
good.
Them,
I'm
right?
glad
that's
you're catching on, Zook. Good.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, no.
Oh. Home runs don't matter the way that.
Oh my
do.
God!
They don't.
Also, not making any sense is how the Cardinals have clawed their way back into the postseason race.
Yeah, no one is happy about that except Cardinal fans.
Yeah. So August 5th, after they lost to Atlanta, the Cardinals were 8 games out of the race for the second National League wild card spot and had a 1.5% chance of reaching the postseason, according to FanGraphs playoff odds. 6 weeks later, odds are up to 41.5%.
Well, it's similar to what the Jays were.
Yeah.
Right? The Jays had
Jays were about 5.
Really low. They were really low. And
they're
then,
about 5-ish, and now they're up to 63,
like
I think.
Yeah. Yeah. But I give the – like, I saw a Cardinals game this week. Goldschmidt and Arenado are hidden again. And Wainwright has rejuvenated the youth of 15 years ago almost. And they're
crazy. Dude's 40.
He could get 20 wins this year. He's at I think he's at 18, if I'm not mistaken, or 16. Maybe I was wrong about that, but he's right up there. I think he's one or two in the NL for wins. It's crazy. I mean,
he's gone 13-3 over the last 19 starts since June 1st with a 2.27 ERA.
And you can't say it's about the spin, right?
No.
Guys, it's like doing a Greg Maddux type thing. Yeah, right? He's just locating totally. Like a madman.
No, mad props to that. That's fantastic. I mean, that's one thing.
Also, Paul Goldschmidt hitting like crazy.
Yeah.
And he had, he was tied for the most outs on hard hit balls with Kyle Tucker through the end of June. There was a 104 point gap between his slugging percentage and his expected slugging based on quality of contacts and strikeouts. And so since June 30th, that slugging, the XXSLG 590 actual slugging percentage 596. So, you know, regress to the mean.
That's a good race. The NL wild card's a really good race too, right? You've got a lot, like, you know, the Phillies are still in there. You got the
Reds. No idea how the Phillies are still in that, man. Well,
Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper is he's actually played really well this year. He could be the NL MVP, you know. I mean, he's played that well over the down the stretch here, but you know, the Reds are still in there. I mean, I'm pulling for the Reds to try and get one of those spots. That would be nice to get Votto in there for I think the first time in his postseason career, if I'm not mistaken.
The Reds have been in before.
Oh yeah, I guess, but it's been a while.
They had Jay Bruce and Johnny Cueto.
We're going back.
Did they lose that wild card game to the Pirates?
Oh goodness, yeah, that could be right, yeah. But it would just nice. I mean, Votto's had a really good
only year. Ones to be above 500 since August 6th amongst the teams fighting for those wild card spots. Padres, Reds, Phillies, and Mets all playing under 500.
So yeah, when did Votto start his career? 2009.
Yeah, something like that.
2007. Okay, so he's been to he was in the playoffs. Lost the division series to the Phillies, got swept in 2010, lost the division series to the Giants 3-2 in 2012, lost the wild card game to the Pirates 6-2 in 2013. And they made the expanded playoffs last year and lost to the Braves.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, that was where they, Yeah, that's fair enough. I mean, still, like, I cheer for Joey Votto. He's had a pretty good resurgent season there. It'd be surprising if the Padres don't make it, right? Like, that would be, I think, a bit of a stunner, right? After all those moves. And I know they got a lot of injuries this year and stuff, but they made the moves. They made the moves to actually compete against the Dodgers in the division. But if they don't make it, right, like, that's a huge W for them, right? Because, I mean, they went kind of all in a bit, but it's great.
Well, they were primed for a couple of years. It's not just this year.
Oh, no. Yeah. Fair enough. But I'm just saying is, you know, this would be, you know, they still want to get in this year. They make some noise.
I made the moves to make it this year.
Yeah. And well, it's very similar to the Jays, right? And Tatis would be nice for him to be in the postseason. You know, we always want the big stars to be there. It'd be nice to see what they can do, you know, on the big stage there. But I think it's still a bit of a grab. I would agree with you, Brian, that the Phillies is kind of the weird one there. But I mean,
Harper. He's the best hitter in major leagues right now. If going by WRC plus, he's the best NL player by wins above Fangraphs wins above replacement. Like, dude is.
Yeah, he's crushing it right now.
Putting on a season.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you like him or not, but I mean, that's what they paid all that money for, right? To finally start delivering. But that NL East is just like, I mean. I think this is really the only division that we still might be talking as a division, you know, a race a bit. I think Atlanta's there, but I mean, I think they're only three up or whatever, but I mean, someone's got to win that division. So I guess, you know, it's going to be one of these teams.
Yeah.
Well, we need to wrap things up before we go. Pity party. What's on?
Yeah. What's going on in the pity party?
Yeah. Okay. So, I guess the 14th was the 22nd birthday of American football's first self-titled EP or LP, whatever you want to call it. It came out in 1999 on September 14th, 9 tracks. It's one of the best albums in emo history. Seminal album, really spurred an entire third wave of the genre. Mike Kinsella is an absolute genius, multi-instrumentalist in a whole myriad of bands that I play on my show all the time. And so I'm other than just you know, some other songs I'm putting in there right in the middle of the show. You get to listen to all 9 songs of that American Football album in a row.
We're just front to back. Okay. So the way the album is laid out.
Exactly. Yeah.
There you go. That's coming up at 1 o'clock.
Well, people just stay on this channel, right? Just stay on the dial. Just keep it all the way through, right? You know, you hear us argue for, you know, 30 minutes and you're like, hey, let's just hear some music for the next 3 or 4 hours. That'd be fantastic.
All right. With that, we'll be back next week.
And guess what? Let's play ball!
Strike 3. You're out.